Good morning. Could you say that a little livelier? By God's help, we're going to try to talk about attitudes. And we ask you to join us as we ask God's help for us today. Great and mighty God, this is the season for thanking you for blessings. We thank you for the past that you have blessed. Here we are today, this hour of service. We ask, Lord, for your blessings to be upon what is presented here today. We need your help. And we ask for the aid of the Holy Spirit. And we ask you to preach this message today. May everyone be benefited from it, not only at this time, but in the future. We ask, Lord, that even the children would be able to get something that would help them in life. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Attitudes are a way of thinking, acting, or feeling. It is very important, the attitudes that an individual has. If they are on a job toward their boss, their co-workers. I worked in a place where there was a mixture of union and non-union individuals. And one of the union girls had a very ugly attitude towards non-union. So an attitude toward co-workers can even be important. The attitude that a person has towards their family, their neighbors, the church, the attitude that you have towards even politicians, and on and on. I was in a service here a while back, and a sister come up and sit on the altar. The ministers gathered up, and before prayer was offered for her, she had a confession to make. Her confession was that she had had an attitude toward her husband and toward the church, to the church. Well, there was anointing and prayer, and in another service, she testified of being blessed physically after prayer. This person probably has claimed to be saved for a number of years, has ministered in different pulpits, but she had been convicted of having attitudes that was not good. I read a story about a woman that had inserted some money in a stamp machine, and she never received the stamps. There was an address on the stamp machine, and she took and copied that off, and she made a request to this address, told them what had happened, and she was wanting reimbursed for the amount that she lost in the machine and even for the postage that she had used to the money for the postage she'd used to make her request. She posted that address up in a place that was visible. And time went by and no response. But when she'd look at that address, she'd get these feelings. Remember I said, attitude is a way of thinking, acting, or feeling. So she'd get these feelings when she would look at that address. And I don't know how often she looked or how many times she looked. But one day she was going to do some cleaning or doing some cleaning, and she looked at that address, and that same old feeling started coming up. This time she did something different. She said a prayer and she reached over and took that address and threw it in the trash can, and the feelings went too. She got rid of an attitude that day. In this book, it was written in Bible times, and people had attitudes back in that time too. Some of those attitudes were good, and some of those were not. Jesus modeled a good attitude at all times. Never is it recorded that he had to go to someone and apologize for an attitude that was not right. Did he have occasion to develop a wrong attitude? He would call Beelzebub. He was scrutinized by people that wanted to make trouble for him. He demonstrated power and ability to be able to calm the waters of a troubled sea. He demonstrated the ability to raise the dead. He stopped a funeral procession. He could heal blinded eyes, bring hearing to deaf ears. His miraculous power was on exhibition on numerous occasions. But the power to be able to have a good attitude supersedes being able to pray and bring sight to a person's eyes. When he was able to go through the agony in Gethsemane, when he was able to face the mob, when he was able to stand in a trial that was unjust, when he was able to take the slappings, the spittings, slapped so much in his face that it altered his looks. He didn't look like his normal look. His visage was marred. When he was able to carry the cross till he fell under the weight of it, and when he was able to lay his life, his body down upon a cross, he said he laid his life down. When he laid it down, when they took all the methods that is taken to pin the body to the cross, nailing, hammering the nail through his body, taking that cross and just lifting it up and allowing it to draw into the place that it was to be stationary. And when he was able to go through all of that with a good attitude, what a challenge is that? But he did it. And he forgave people that never asked him for his forgiveness. Is that a challenge? If you've been hurt deeply, is it a challenge to forgive that individual who never asked that to be forgiven? Well, Jesus did. Those that hurt him, the pain in his heart, the pain in his body, and all that he had encountered and endured, he didn't hold an attitude towards any of them. It is important for an individual to keep attitudes that are good towards their enemy. And in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, is recorded a story about a young girl, don't know her age, but she was taken captive into a foreign land. First verse. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. Now, if you will, for a little bit, picture self into this little girl's position. She is taken from her familiar surroundings, from her homeland, and from her family. Maybe her parents and some of her kin was killed in this time frame. However that was, she was brought into a place where she was to be a slave, young. Would she have had a reason to feel that Naaman was her enemy? Would she had a reason to have an attitude towards him? Could you justify this if she had had an attitude, greater possibilities and potential than the lady that had the non-response from the stamp machine? Well, at any rate, this young girl, put in the position of being away from familiarities and life as she had it in her homeland, does not state that she was a slave before she come there. She had a heart of compassion towards this man with leprosy. And leprosy was a disease that was very, very serious. And maybe you remember the story about the 10 men that were there when Jesus was in the vicinity, and they lifted up their voices and cried for mercy from him, and they had been quarantined, not able to mix and mingle and interact with their loved ones, and they were excluded from society in general. Leprosy was a disease that caused body parts to deteriorate. It was a bad, bad disease. Maybe you could compare it, could you, to cancer that is such a awful thing. At any rate, however, this is what this man had. And instead of having an attitude towards him of hostility and enmity and bitterness, she had an attitude of compassion. And she let it be known to the one that she was to be slave to about the man of God in the country where she was taken from. And she must have had built up a trust within this household that what she was advising, that if he could go to the prophet, that there could be a change in his physical condition. Because it was not a small matter for this to happen. There was something that took place there. They sent letters, and anyway, they must have felt like this little girl has my interest at heart, and she is not trying to undermine and cause trouble, but she wants me to be whole and well. However, all of those things was, so he went on his way. And this little girl had confidence in the man of God. Had this little girl heard a lot of negative things about the man of God, she might have had a different kind of attitude towards him, and all of this might not have took place, but the healing part. But she apparently had good attitude towards the prophet. Very important. And so it was that he went. And he didn't get the reception from the prophet like he wanted, and he quickly got an attitude. Was going back, come a leper, was going back a leper. But a servant entreated him to do what the prophet had said. And he did. Maybe as he dipped in that old muddy Jordan, which was a very lowly thing for him to do, he felt, beneath his desire, but he did it. Maybe every time he come up out of a dip, he would look to see if was there any change. But I don't know when the change come. Maybe it didn't come till he dipped the last time, but the change did come. And all the gratitude that filled his heart, the desire to bestow gifts. The prophet didn't want a gift. And then he went and returned after he had the meeting with Gehazi. He returned to his homeland a healed man. What a life change. What a difference that a good attitude had on a potential enemy. The man that Peter cut off the ear when they were in those pressure times when they come to get Jesus, Jesus didn't treat him as an enemy. I don't know where the ear fell, how much dirt it might have accumulated, but Jesus had an attitude, I want to heal. And he placed that back on his head and he healed it. And if people could ask him in years to come, which ear was it that Jesus restored? And he could say, well, take a look and see if you can tell. And Jesus did a perfect job without one stitch. So Jesus kept a good attitude. This little girl kept a good attitude towards somebody that could have been her enemy. Joseph kept had an attitude towards his brothers that had maliciously mistreated him. Some wanted to murder him. They sold him for and got money for him. He was taken from his familiar surroundings, from the father that loved him, had the very nice coat of many colors. But in all of it, Joseph was able to embrace his brothers and weep with an attitude of love. Is that a challenge? Now, others in this Bible didn't have an attitude that was charitable. The Word of God gives both sides. There was a brother that had a brother that was demanding and had an attitude he wanted to leave home. Father let him go with his inheritance, got out and spent it in ways that wasn't good. Got hungry, hunger pains. Got a job feeding hogs. And in his state of hunger, of perishing with hunger, he got to thinking about bread. And the bread that was back at home was an abundance. Maybe he could even think about how it smelled when it was baking in the oven. At any rate, he thought about bread. Sometimes when I get hungry, I think about some food. He was thinking about food. And he felt like it's just, I'm just going to arise and go back home. So he did. His father met him with grace in his heart. He even went, didn't make him come all the way to him. He went to greet him. They embraced. And his father had grace in his heart that he didn't say, oh, you smell awful. You look awful. You just have squandered my money. And he didn't have that kind of reception for him. He had a benevolent attitude towards this one that had went out and away and did wrong, but come home. And he said, get the robe. Get the fatted calf. This is an occasion where I want to make merry. There was the preparations of it and the enactment of it. And the brother who had been off working, maybe sweating and toiling, at the end of the day he is coming home and he don't know what's happened. If you want to pick up on the story, it's the 15th chapter, 25th verse. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. He would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Shame on this older brother that could not enter in, did not have the attitude of gratitude that his father had, that the son had returned home, and that there was a out and out demonstration of gratitude that he was back. But he was angry, had an angry attitude, had some unkind words to say to his father. I don't think he treated his father with a respectful way of handling what was going on. So all these years there's no way to talk to your father. And in so doing, his refusal to enter into the rejoicing time, he was left out. He missed out on a good steak dinner, the fatted calf, and all that was involved because of an attitude. Do you know people today can miss out on good spiritual food because of an attitude? Can miss out on many, many blessings. And if you fail to keep a good attitude towards someone that you could help, like the little maid, that can make a difference in an individual's life. May God help us. A whole group of people had a bad attitude, the children of Israel. They had been delivered out of the hand of a tyrant who had made life so miserable, caused them to throw their babies in the Nile River, made them work slavishly hard, made life miserable for them. God sent a deliverance. They walked out of Egypt. They went on their way, but they were murmurers and complainers, and they had an attitude against God and against God's servant. And it tells about that in Numbers, the 21st chapter, how they spoke against Moses and God. We'll pick up on the 21st chapter and 4th verse. And they journeyed from Mount Horeb by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And they spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes this light bread. Here they were, discouraged because of the way, They had an attitude against God, and they spake against God. That's very serious. And against Moses. These people was really asking for trouble through the attitude that they had, and they sure enough got trouble because God, the Lord God, sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. If serpents was sent today to those and bit those who have attitudes towards a man or woman of God, or an attitude towards God himself, there'd be a lot of death, wouldn't there? Fiery serpents were sent and bit the people. So this group of people had an attitude. Attitudes can get in groups, can get in congregations, and really cause havoc. The sister that said she had had an attitude towards the church. An honest confession. One more. Jacob, at one time, had a bad attitude towards life. That can be that can be bad, to have an attitude towards life. There was occasion when, after he was brought away from a land of famine, that he had the opportunity to stand before Pharaoh. And he had been reunited with Joseph, his beloved son, was in a land where there were plenty of food after he'd been in a land of famine. And on this occasion, meeting with Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked Jacob, he said, and Pharaoh, this is the 47th chapter in the 8th verse, and Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are as 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Shame on Jacob. Here he's before the number one man in the government, and he is asked by Pharaoh, how old are you? And he proceeds to say, few and evil have been my days. And here he is 130 years old, saying his days is few and evil. Is there anyone in here today 80 years old? Yeah. He'd live beyond that considerably. But here he's saying, few and evil have been my days. And if you can recall how God blessed Jacob to escape from his brother that wanted to take his life, to give him a dream or vision about angels on a ladder, that blessed him in an uneven wrestling match, that he got the blessing he desired, had enabled him to meet face to face with his son, whom he had thought a wild animal had taken his life. And now he's in a place where he can be fed and close to his family and with Joseph. And this number one man in the government asked him how old he was, and here is the way he replied. Instead of him saying, he had an attitude towards life at this time that wasn't good. It was reeking with lament. Instead of Jacob saying, oh, Pharaoh, God has blessed me time after time, He has given me the privilege to be with my son that I thought was dead from an attack of a wild animal. Oh, Pharaoh, here I am, 130 years old, and God has blessed me abundantly. I've just had so many blessings, and to be here and to be able even to face-to-face be with a person of your position. What a privilege I have to testify to you of God's goodness. Instead of that, he says, few and evil have been my days. What an attitude he had to display to this man when he had such a good attitude, opportunity to testify of God's goodness. He didn't do it. May God help us today. Good news. If you have a bad attitude towards anybody, even a dog. Yeah. If you have an attitude towards a dog, it can affect you and give you feelings, can't it? I know right now of someone that has a dog and it's a problem to their neighbor. And he probably wishes the dog was dead. But if you have an attitude towards a dog, it can affect you in a negative way. But I tell you, God can change attitudes. He changed mine. I had an attitude towards my own daddy. It was something that didn't go away over a night, a week. I don't know just how long it did last. My daddy was a good man, provider for his family. And I had an attitude towards him, and I was eating the food and sleeping in the bed that his money had been responsible for. I had feelings with it. Was it good for me? But you know, I had a change. I had a change. My parents relocated. I lived in California. They lived in California. They relocated. Before, and I don't know just how long it was before they relocated, my attitude to my daddy changed. Children, don't get attitudes towards your parents. Don't do it. However much you may think it's justified, don't do it. So, I lived in California, and one day I get a phone call from my mother. We talked, and she talked like Daddy hadn't been feeling good. I said to her, "Tell him I love him." That night I got another call, and my daddy had passed away. It hit me hard. I don't think I slept any that night. It was a difficult time. I've had other family members to pass on, but none of them has affected me like my daddy. I'm so glad that I told her to tell him, "I love you." I don't know if this would affect the Cole boys in any way, but Sister Carol testified in Shawnee about Brother Paul. And if I don't have this right, help me. She said that at 40 years old, he had a heart attack, was in pain. And there was somebody that he needed to contact, that his attitude hadn't been good. That was taken care of, and the Lord let him live 6 more years. He had a fatal heart attack, but that time, all was clear. If you knew you only had 24 hours to live, that this time tomorrow, approximately 12 o'clock, that you'd be in eternity, is there anyone that you would need to change your attitude towards, to be cleared? And there'll be more people missing heaven over attitudes than there will be stealing. In fact, everyone that isn't saved has a bad attitude. If you knew tomorrow, at this time, you would be in eternity, is there anyone or anything you need a different attitude towards? May God help us today. Our Father, we're thankful that Jesus had an attitude towards us of love. Of when we needed forgiveness, there was forgiveness. Thank you for that. Today, you can look down into the deepest depths of every soul that's present. You know what shaped our lives, what attitudes we've developed, what long-standing or short. Help us, Lord. We need your help. We don't know what might happen between here and our end. Would you help us to keep good attitudes? Help us to be humble before you. Bless these children, Lord, that while they're young, they will never have attitudes towards their parents, friends, brothers, sisters, whoever. Bless us all that we might be Christ-like in our attitudes. We ask these blessings. Help us to keep attitudes toward the people of God, the saints of God, like we should. Many have went other ways because of attitudes they've got to the people of God. Attitudes towards those in leadership positions. An attitude that's good towards you, Heavenly Father. All of these are important. And our eternity is going to be the results of what attitudes that we've had. God bless us this day. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.